Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Surprise! There's a little extra one here at the end of the series. We were at the Machynlleth Festival in Wales, so we did a Rhylestyper Eat McFly, as you'll find out when you listen, with Mike Wozniak. So this is just a little surprise extra. Make the most of it. Remember, if you want to help us make more of these, go to gofasterstripe.com/RHLSTP5. You can buy a series pass or just contribute a little bit of money, but this is just a little fun extra for you to thank you for listening to the series. Hope you enjoy it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tabernacle, the Y Tabernacle. And will you please welcome a man who has been farting all the way in his car, driving here for the last 6 hours, and there is a smell in his car. It is Richard Herring! Much. Hello. Hello, Machynlleth. How are you doing? Yeah, I had a go. Saying it. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, except at the Machynlleth Comedy Festival, or as all the cool kids are calling it, Rhylestyper Eat McFly. It's very nearly Eat McFly. I think if I can put, except at the Machynlleth Comedy Festival, lovely yes. Then it's Rhylestyper Eat McFly. That's good. I'd like to eat McFly. They seem like nice boys. So this is a one-off special. Well, it's the second time we've done this. There's over 100 excited Welsh people. No one who isn't not Welsh is. If you're not Welsh, please leave. Only Welsh people are allowed to see this because it's going to be especially offensive to your country. It's not. I love it. It's lovely to be here. It's fantastic, beautiful. It's a beautiful part of the country, isn't it, to be in? I've been driving through in my fart-filled car. It's nice when you're driving on your own, isn't it? Because you can. You know, I don't know why I'm directing that directly at you, madam, but it is. They're really smelly ones as well, but it's, you know, it's all right. I like them. They're mine. They're my own. And so I'll just do a quick look. I can now finally talk about Pointless Celebrities, which I was not. Did anyone watch Pointless Celebrities last week? Yeah, man's put his hand up. No, that woman says no, she didn't watch it. I was on it for a short period of time. I wouldn't say it's the greatest humiliation of my life.
Right, it's certainly the greatest humiliation of my life that's been broadcast on BBC One. So most of my humiliations were not filmed, luckily, but it didn't go so well. It's very frustrating. And I was so depressed about it, I can't tell you, that I kind of thought I have to change the way I live my life. Because the day after, I could just was in such a mood. I'm quite a positive person now, and I thought, I have to stop being so competitive. Or at least channel my competitiveness into things that matter, like my career, rather than being more upset about that than anything else. Anyway, it was, don't bother tracking it down. It was fucking Rona cameras. And if anything, Dom Jolly comes out of it quite badly, despite being the winner. But a couple of other things, what's been going on. I've been to BritCom, Dirty BritCom Confessions, which you may be aware of if you've been listening or watching to the rest of the series, which is a website where people can post their fantasies about comedians, and British comedians mainly. We talked about it a bit. Now I've mentioned it a bit, people have started putting up things on mine that I think are just trying to get read out on the podcast. I'm not sure if this is one of those or not, but this is quite a good one. I want Richard Herring to crawl into my garden with a line of Findus crispy pancakes down his naked back. Like some kind of sexy stegosaurus. It might be a real one. It might be... He would mount me powerfully and we would have slow grunting, I think it says, dinosaur sex in the shrubs. After we climax, I would eat the crispy pancakes off his warm back. They would be the minced beef ones. It's quite good. Now, a lady in the front row started looking embarrassed about that before I started reading it out, which makes me suspect. Was that you? Because I'm fucking right up for it. If you want it now, especially now, senior, I thought it would be someone like this guy. And no offence, but I do not want you eating crispy pancakes off my back. Well, that like. You can eat crispy pancakes on my back anytime you like, sweetheart. That is what I'm saying. That's a good. I've slightly lost the chat up techniques. That's apparently not a good chat up line from the reaction I got. But you know, I've been married for a couple of years now. I've forgotten how to chat people up. And my favourite news story at the interim since we've been off air, although you at home won't know that, is a man in Italy was crushed by a falling Jesus. Did you see this? There was a. It's fantastic. I mean, that is a real. If you're going to die, that's a fantastic way. There was a massive bendy. It was sort of like I don't quite understand it, but there was like a massive bendy. I don't know if it was like a fairground attraction crucifix. It was a sculpture to honour Pope John Paul II, and I think another. And it was like a crucifix, but it was bending over like that, and then it broke in half, and then it fell on a bloke and killed him. I mean, that's quite a, presumably a Christian bloke, who then, I mean, that must be quite a confusing way to die, as you see Jesus. Either it means there isn't a God, right? Either we've proved there isn't a God, which I think is the most likely thing, because, you know, why would God do that to you? Unless that, he's either saying that guy was evil, which doesn't seem fair, because he was there praying to Jesus. Or it proves that, you know, that Jesus isn't the God that you want. Because even if he is, imagine being that bloke getting to heaven and meeting Jesus. I mean, that's going to be him. Jesus have to go, oh, yeah, sorry about that. You'd either have to go really embarrassed, go, yeah, sorry. Couldn't you have stopped that happening, Jesus? Yeah, I could have done, I suppose. Sorry about that. Sorry about me falling. Or Jesus has to kind of try and, you know, go, oh, remember? Wait. So do that, didn't he? I mean, you know, rest in peace to the real man who has died. He's an Italian bloke who doesn't matter, isn't he? So, of course it matters. You are right to be annoyed with me. And I think that might be all of the news I've got, because I'm not going to tell you any more about it. We probably won't ever mention pointless celebrities again all of the time. That is going to happen. Anyway, it's very exciting to be at this fantastic festival, and I've got a brilliant guest to kick us off. This is like one of the first shows of the whole festival this year, so we're very excited. He is best known as Greg Collett in Tits. Which looks to me like something like a joke thing that someone's put in the IMDb, but apparently from his reaction is real. Will you please welcome Mike Wozniak, ladies and gentlemen. It's Mike Wozniak from Tits. From off of Tits.
Yeah. That's me. Hello.
Hello. What is
What is tits? What, I didn't catch tits. Is that a real thing?
Tits is a real and misleadingly titled, very moving coming of age piece.
Why is it
about an adolescent boy who grows tits?
Right.
He has. Yeah, it's a real thing, guys. Okay.
Did you play one of the tits?
I was not one of the tits. I was his teacher.
Okay.
So I was in a sort of sex education class, right, in which he was being bullied on account of his rack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very moving. Very beautifully shot. Very sensitively done.
And then they went. Let's call it tits.
Tits. Yeah. Exactly. We've got a. What's the draw here, guys? What's the hook? How are we going to get people to tune in? Yeah, call it tits. Boom.
I'm going to look
out. Caught your eye, didn't
it? I am. I'm going to look out. When I saw that, I thought that's the first thing I'm going to talk about. You are, apart from that, you are probably best known for being in the sitcom Man Down.
Yeah.
Which is where we had Greg Davies on the series earlier in the series, which stars Greg Davies. Rick Mayall. It's pretty exciting. I mean, it's not quite your first TV thing, but it's one of your first TV things.
Oh, yeah, but it's the first series of a thing. Yeah, Rick Mayall, sort of, yeah, genuine hero and all that sort of thing. And thrilled to discover on meeting them that he is, he's genuinely, dangerously crackers.
Right.
And hugely disinhibited and willfully inappropriate. any opportunity he gets. I'd have been devastated if he was just a sort of kind of well-adjusted...
what kind of things?
Family man.
What kind of things did he do?
Five a day.
Well,
I mean, yeah, I don't know how much I can say on sort of legal grounds. I mean, I don't want to.
Well, if it happened, you can say it.
Yeah, sure.
Did he? As long as if he sexually abused you, let's not get into that. I mean, let's wait that till the end. We can do a sad bit at the end of the podcast where you talk about that.
Sure.
but talk about the more jolly
aspects for other victims. Yeah, I mean, I think he has a very low threshold for a. For a goose,
right?
A goosing, and you know, if anyone's within arm's reach, sure, they might get goosed, and you know, but they get a great anecdote at the end of it, unlike a lot of goosings, which don't really have a positive spin.
No. So it pretty much was a sexual assault. So okay. And how did you end up getting this role? Did you audition or were you kind of?
I don't know. I assume that there was an error of some sort. And normally when I go to I got an audition for it, and normally when I get an audition for something I really want to be in, I make a steaming crap pile of it. And but I was very lucky because there was a guy who was waiting to go in. And I have no idea if he was auditioning for that or something unrelated, or if he was just having a meeting for something in the production office. It was the guy who played Nathan Barley.
Oh, yes.
So as soon as I saw him within range of the audition, I just thought, well, fine, you're not going to get that. And I just relaxed, and rather than doing my usual steaming crap pile routine, I clearly just did something non-steaming crap pile and got a job for once.
That's good. Well, it seems very... that's why it seems like it's written for you. I suppose that's the way you do it, but it seems like...
You're saying I come across as quite sort of anal, anally retentive,
I think so.
repressed, deeply troubled character.
That's how I pictured you at home with your actual real wife.
Yeah, it's not far off.
No, okay. So that's. I think it might have just been a fly on the wall. if people seen this, the problem with sitcoms now is so many come out. It's very and they're all over the place. And I saw like one or two episodes of this, and now I've watched all of them.
Yeah,
and it's really genuinely one of the best things.
But even you had to. Didn't
I had to.
I'm writing
a little bit for it, but it's really so I had to watch it then. And when Greg rang me up, I went, oh yeah, it's really good, better one. I'd watched like a couple of them, and I think it's when something's a bit different than everything else, it takes you a couple of episodes. Everything I really like The Simpsons and Larry Sanders and everything really, and Parks and Rec and things like that I think are the best sitcoms, the first time I saw them I went, and it was a little bit, the first time I saw Man Down, I went, oh, yeah, it's good, because I like Greg, and I like it, and I like Rick Mayall, and you're all right. But then actually, watching all seven, I think there are, or so far, is there six or seven?
Yeah,
the Christmas special. It's got a real style, it's really good.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether people...
But now you're contracted.
Now I'm part of the team, so I have to be nice about it. But not for very long, so by the time this goes out, I can probably be honest.
I don't know how many people have watched.
Do you watch Man Down? It's really good, isn't it? Less people said it was good than that. But one bloke did say it was excellent. Who thinks it's really rubbish who's seen it? There's a woman shaking her head, and there's a man laughing nervously. Because we would have thrown you out for being rude to our fantastic guests. If you haven't seen it, do. It's all. I think it's still on 4OD.
Yeah, that's where I watch forever. I think. Yeah.
It's really good.
4OD.
Greg's. Very. He's tall, isn't he?
He's massive.
Yeah.
He's oversized.
And that, for me, is enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever was going on, I'd go, look how big that guy, and then there's a guy with a moustache when I get bored of the tall bloke.
Who's smaller, you know, in relative terms. Yeah, exactly.
So the moustache is a very, you know, it's the first thing you notice when you kind of, when you come into a room, that's
the
before
first thing
you
enters a room, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
Usually.
So, again, is that something you had before you became a comedian, or was that a decision, did you think, I'm going to have a gimmick?
Well, the first one was grown as a joke, obviously. Right. You don't grow a moustache.
Look, it looks nice on you.
But then I preferred it. And my wife preferred it and confessed that for a long time she felt I had an underdeveloped lower face.
Right.
So it's sort of there as kind of filler, really. Yeah. I mean, it has a functional element to it. I got married in it, for example. And
You grew the moustache so long that it was a kind of cathedral, and then went inside.
If you want to sort of put an extra vestibule on the side of it, you have to get sort of special permission from Heritage. Yeah. And so it's just sort of there now, but it was never, I mean, you know, it's never, it was never the plan to just be moustache guy.
No.
But I mean, as I sort of alluded to, I mean, I will occasionally, you know, go to castings and stuff and shave it off to try and say, hey guys, I got range. And they will always say, yeah, all right, great. I mean, we have shitloads of middle class white guys in their 30s who are clean shaven who like acting, Mike. Okay. We are up to our neck in those guys. So well done. Go home, grow it again, and we'll see you in a couple of months.
But
so,
you didn't have it in the thing you did with Roisin.
Which is the only thing, yeah, which was a mate's thing with Roisin Connolly, which is the only, which again, she's in Man Down. So yeah. I suggested, hey guys, I got a really good, you know, idea for character development. Why don't I shave my moustache? And they're like, that's enough, that's different enough. And boom, yeah. But yeah. I mean, certainly no one's called me since then to offer me further clean shaven jobs.
But how, when did you film that? Because the moustache is now very thick again.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's spring, you know, it's in full bloom.
Yeah. Does it grow that, how fast can you grow a moustache that thick? How long,
this is
from naught to that?
It's kind of from naught to sort of soup strainer is a couple of months.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a month for a functional, functional kind of, you know, flight lieutenant job.
Yeah. I have some experience of moustaches myself.
You did the Hitler thing?
I did a Hitler moustache.
Yeah, I remember seeing you early on in the stage, I think in Waterloo Station. I had it and was saying, yeah, I've had a really neat idea. I'm going to go around like this for a year. Great. Sounds like a great, good luck.
It was weird. But your moustache is quite like Stalin's moustache.
Exactly. And so, indeed, Stalin is something that has been shouted at me on the streets by perfect strangers.
Has it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, most people will go for the usual, you know, my name is Earl, whatever's on TV.
Yeah.
You know, if 118 has a prominent campaign, that kind of thing, you know, the usual.
Yeah.
Max from Guess Who has been one of my favourites. Yeah. And I've said that before and it gets a strong response, which always sort of makes me very sad. But
it's like that everyone would know that. Remember that, like Guess Who so much so they remember the name.
Brains, it's there, it's ready. Somehow it's there.
Yeah. So you do get Stalin shouted at you because people didn't really shout Hitler at me that much. They were quite scared of me.
Really?
Yeah, because I look like an
Because they look like I've seen him. Downfall was wrong.
Yeah. So and you know, I think you would think anyone who's got a Hitler moustache is probably mentally challenged in some way, in probably in quite an aggressive manner. That's what. So but I think people were mainly scared of me.
People didn't try and take you away.
No, but it was. I felt very ostracised. It was very weird. And the worst thing that happened was a guy. I passed a white. It was after I'd just passed a gang of builders who were going, "Oh, Adolf." They all did do that.
Yeah.
Which was a bit weird. Then I was a bit shaken up by that. Then I walked, and then a white van man on his own saw me and said,
well done, mate. You're a man after my own heart.
Holy shit. Like,
if only I had the bravery, I'd walk around like that. But well done for sticking up for what you believe
and
in.
And he wasn't a big-time Chaplin fan or anything like that. He wasn't accessing
it. It was
that.
Chilling. It was really like, oh, my God. I mean, the fact you would think...
They're out there.
That, yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well
and
done.
You possibly activated him.
I may have done that.
His cell is now up and running. Good.
And his name was Nigel Farage. Which, when he's in charge, I will now be taken out and shot. As a result of that.
The first against the wall.
I will be the first. Yeah. It's very similar to the rise of Hitler. I genuinely think it is. And people are like, oh, he's just, oh, let's all have a laugh at Nigel Farage. That's what happened to Hitler. And Hitler survived, didn't he? In the Munich putsch, he was shot. The next bloke next to him was shot. Nigel Farage had that amusing plane accident. They both think they're immortal, and then that's it. Hitler survived like 15 assassination attempts. Just get him on the first one if you're going to have a go. Don't kill anyone, but if you're going to do it anyway, despite what I say, do it properly.
In a targeted manner.
Yeah. So you started out, for people who may not be aware of your career trajectory...
Which is, I would assume, almost everyone.
But last year on this very podcast, we had Pappies. And look where they've gone on to be.
Doing all right, aren't they?
Yeah, kind of adequately doing all right. I don't think that was much to do with this. But you started out as a doctor or a medical student. Did you ever work as a doctor?
I did, briefly. Yeah, for a little bit. For a few years. I was just sort of general bod on the wards, really. I don't think I was, I was just,
Did you ever, were you ever held responsible for someone's death? Looks like, I kind of thought you wouldn't be, but from the response, I've opened a can of worms now.
Luckily, it was some years ago.
Yeah.
You know, when the medical fraternity was a lot like, American Special Forces in Iraq. We were a clothes shop. We were a brotherhood. And really, if you did a slip up or two, it was okay. He's just a young guy. Don't bust his chops too much.
We all make mistakes at work, especially if we're new.
Sure.
Exactly. Can you go? It's my first day when you're a doctor.
I was full of spunk, full of vim and vinegar, and just wanted to, give it a go, give it a crack.
Is it true that you were skilled? Because this is according to The Guardian. I don't know why you don't put this on your poster.
Right, yeah.
Skilled at removing larvae of a botfly from a man's leg.
That is true.
Is it?
Actually.
What is a botfly? Is that
it's
a real
a kind
thing?
Of, it's a weird kind of Latin American fly, and it lays its eggs in you.
Right.
In your flesh. And people don't know about it for weeks after. It was basically... I never did anything... I never got senior enough to do anything interesting. But when I was a student,
quite interesting.
My best day was I was in an infectious diseases firm, and this guy had been travelling in Latin America, and is often the case, he'd been back for a couple of weeks, and he was in the bath, and this is often how it presents, because they start to get a bit big, and he just had a bit of swelling and some red patches on his legs, and these people will get in the bath rather than the shower, and suddenly these larvae are like, I can't breathe! I can't breathe! And then these little white little sort of kind of heads start poking out of your flesh.
Wow.
Where they are. So he's in the bath, and all of a sudden there's, sort of 50-odd beasts going, hello! Hello! You didn't notice, but we got for the customs. And it's for infectious diseases specialists, it's a very boring thing to do. So they are happy to teach a 22-year-old keen student the three ways of doing it, and that student is very excited, obviously, to do it, and it's very simple. And so I spent an entire day with this man. The simplest way is just to get a little sort of bit of Vaseline. You cut a cup out, so there's a seal.
Should untrained people try this?
Well, I certainly had no official qualifications at the time.
Let's carry on.
And you make an airtight seal, and so you trick the larva into going, hello. And then you wait there with a pair of tweezers, and you yank the bugger out. But they're very fat underneath; their little heads are very fat. You got to yank them out that way, or you cut them out, or a third way that I can't remember.
Oh.
That shall remain. Squeezing. That's it. Squeezing. Yeah. That's the worst.
Well, that's
way
what I would have done.
Yeah, you squeeze it like a spot, which you can do, and sometimes it works. But if it doesn't have a give, then you can just explode it, and then they get very serious sepsis. And yeah.
And there's a danger if you squeeze them, you might squeeze them back further into the human body.
Exactly. And they go straight into your brain, at which point you become one of them. And you have the urge to bury yourself within the flesh of the nearest mammal until they get in a bath. So watch out for that.
So if anyone...
It's possible I've been out of practice for a few years and sometimes the details get sketchy, sure.
If anyone comes to one of your gigs and they have that problem, can they approach you afterwards and say...
Or during. I mean, if the gig's going very badly, you know, if the gig's if it's not really going for it, then fine. You know.
Or if it's... Sometimes in a theatre, someone has a heart attack and they go, is there a doctor in the house? Mm. Someone could have that happening and then they go, is there a bot fly specialist in the house?
Is there an amateur bot fly specialist who hasn't done it for 10 years? Yeah, and there I am.
So why did you leave medicine behind, apart from the fact that you were squeezing flies out of people's legs?
I prefer comedy, which I guess means I'm sort of fundamentally lazy and selfish human being.
But then you've gone through presumably 6 years of training to become a doctor, and then you go,
that's basically what I did. which came as a shock to the parental unit, certainly, at the very least. And they're doing. It's been 6 years now since I gave up, and they're getting better at pretending they're all right with it. Is their approach? Yeah, I just preferred all this, but I didn't think you could do this for a living. I'd done like sketch stuff for years while I was training and stuff, but as a sort of grotesque medical reviews.
Yeah, I was going to ask kind of if that was...
all that business. And I didn't really realize... I thought if you did it for a living, you had to be sort of raised in a circus or something, or be born out of an elephant's trunk, or I didn't know where these people came from. And then I finally went to an open mic night when I was sort of 26 or something like that, and there were sort of normal people, and there were good people, and there were people who were fucking dreadful. And I thought, hey, maybe I'm in the middle of that somewhere. I'll give this a shot.
It is good that those dreadful people do it, because that
inspiring.
Does help.
They're hugely does inspiring.
Help you decide, I could be better than that guy.
Exactly. But he doesn't know. Wait, hang on. Is there delusion? I don't know. Oh, help! Panic. Yeah. Just carry on.
Well, that is the problem. For a long time, I was wondering, am I that guy? Am I the guy?
Because that guy doesn't know.
Yeah, he doesn't know. He thinks he's good.
Yeah.
I've noticed the people who are the worst and the people who are the best have a similar sense of self-assurance about themselves, which is the terrifying thing. I think if you have any doubt that you're good, you're probably all right. You're definitely not brilliant. You're probably not shit. You might be able to make a living out of it. Okay. Yeah. I might be terrible at this. That's good. That's a good starting place to be a comedian, but not if you want to be very successful or very unsuccessful. So good. And you have a twin sister.
I do.
Wow.
Yeah. Hannah. Whoa.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just trying to imagine...
If you've heard of that sort of thing before?
I'm just trying to imagine an exact replica of you, but as a woman. And I'm liking what I'm seeing. But I'm guessing, due to the fact you are of a different gender, that you are not identical twins. That's my knowledge.
That is clue enough.
Twindom.
Yeah.
But you shared a womb.
We did.
You have psychic powers?
We do have psychic powers.
How do they
absolutely
manifest themselves?
Correct.
Could I speak to her now? Through you?
Yeah. Well, the only way it works, we can only tell if we're communicating with one another telepathically if someone breaks an arm.
Right.
So, I mean, if you have a message for her, you'd have to break my arm.
Okay.
And then she'll know I'm trying to get in touch. And then she'll give me a call.
Ring you up. Yeah, then we can talk to her.
Yeah.
That's probably...
It's like a pager system, but with bones.
I've read about you and your twin sister, and you have nothing in common apart from you both like the Goom Show. That is what I've heard.
Really? Where does that come from?
It's from the one Guardian article there is about you.
Such bollocks.
Do you both like the Goon Show? Do you like the Goon Show?
I love the Goon Show. She's always indifferent to it. Right. Yeah. We have lots of other things in common. And a very close... I know when that interview was in 2008 when I first went full-time. And I had... I did Edinburgh. There was a few... I'd never been interviewed in like the printed press before. And there are a few that came... in quick succession, and it basically chilled me to the core about all of the printed press, because I did these interviews quite openly and then I read them vainly afterwards, and it was all just absolute bollocks. Like, it just bared no resemblance to what I'd said. There are things that were taken out of context and things that were just made up. Yes, to the extent that the next time I had an interview, it was with the Brighton Argus. And I took it... Someone gasped then. And I took it very, very slowly and very carefully, to be exact, because I didn't want to be misquoted, because I thought ludicrously that someone might read it. And then it just was a character assassination. Right. And this guy is just painfully slow and monosyllabic, and I thought comedians were supposed to be entertaining at all times, and this guy bored me shitless. And she was just furious. Yeah. And it was an absolute, yeah, just tore me to pieces. So yeah,
there's not that much about you on the internet, which is kind of quite unusual. There's a very, it's like you've taken on a secret identity and you were someone else before.
Well, I, you know, this is career number two. Yeah. Career number three I'm thinking might be crime fighting. Yeah. And I want to sort of be able to have some mystique. Yeah. Sure.
Okay, it's fair enough.
I think like most stuff on the internet is, if there's lots about a person, it's normally stuff they've done themselves, isn't it?
A lot of it is, but for example, Dirty Britcom Confessions,
right,
which isn't, I hope people aren't putting their own ones up. See, I think people suspect that I am putting my own ones up. I wish I could write something as good as that Stegosaurus one, to be honest, so I'd be very pleased with that if I'd written that.
Yeah, with your background and what you've done in the past, I think it was very credible that there would be your own fantasies.
That is true. But everyone's on that.
Yeah.
I thought that guy, big moustache, there's going to be all kinds of pervy stuff.
He's asking for it, right?
No, there's nothing on there.
Form
about
an
you.
Orderly queue.
Stufa's on there.
Well, there will be after this, though. Right?
Kenneth Williams and people like that. Really? Captain Mannery's on there.
Well dead.
You're not on there.
Yeah, well, give it time. Give it time, mate. No, is that how I'll know that I've made it?
Yeah.
If someone wants to sort of sponge my face off with a sesame bun and then do me in a hole in the back of the head.
There's some very... Greg's ones were...
Greg has a very intense and sexually aroused following. There's a gang of... They follow him round and...
I'm surprised.
They want to bang him. They
I find it very sexy.
Big time.
I licked his belly or something. I can't remember what I did.
Mm. It's hard to tell which bit it is.
Yeah, it is. But he's a very sexy, sexual man.
Sure. Sure he is.
Yeah.
But
nothing for you there.
No, I think he's a very sexy man, but they're very aggressive sexually. The sex gang that he has after him. And they'll get him all right. One of these days.
If they team up.
They're gonna fuck him and they're gonna eat him. And then game over. So I mean, go and see his shows, guys, because he's not gonna be around forever.
It's quite big though, he could probably fight off.
Not all 16 of them. Oh. Yeah, and they'll trap him. They'll trap him in a pincer movement or something. He's got no tactical training.
I usually ask people if they had a finger that could travel through time, what they'd do with it. I'm bored of that question.
Sure.
If your moustache could travel through time, where would you send it to get? It can go anywhere. It can be on another person, or it can just be floating around.
Well, given what we've talked about earlier on, I'd make sure that it landed directly on Hitler's face so that first sniper had an easier target.
That's good. Do you not think the Hitler moustache is a better... That's surely a better thing to aim... If you're aiming, you want something small, then you just go, I'll go right for that.
Yeah, but he might have got...
If you got a shot in the moustache, do you think that would kill you? I'm not sure. It would hurt
your teeth.
Depends
which direction from.
If you were shooting up.
Yeah, or sideways, you might get away with it. Might just have a sort of a groove, a sort of terrible horizontal scar through it, and you'd have to explain it at parties and go, yeah, I know the central bit of my moustache is missing. I'm a bit tired of talking about it, actually, and it's a bit distressing, so yeah.
It could just change history in that his moustache becomes a gap where the Hitler moustache once was. It could also work that, because Hitler and Stalin were allies to begin with, but if they had the same moustache, that would probably have created some antagonism between them both.
Possibly.
And then they would never have been allies, and then the war would have been very different.
That's very true.
We're maybe laughing and learning, saved... aren't we? Laughing and mainly learning during this bit.
Yeah. Maybe it could have saved Joan of Arc. I could have sort of just launched it into the sky as a sort of sign from God. Who were they?
It couldn't become massive. It would still be if you launched into the sky, all it would be is a tiny moustache in the sky that no one could see. It's not. It doesn't have the power to grow into a huge. What are you thinking? It has the power to travel through time exactly as it is.
I'll explain.
Not magic.
I'll explain. Yeah, but what I.
life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
What I do is I put it in the sky 2 months before she gets burnt, so it grows further. I'm not there to trim it, so by the time she gets burnt, it's fucking massive. And they look in the sky, it's a moustache.
They see a load of hair, and they go...
It's God. They get distracted. They're like, this is a bad idea, guys. Let it go.
I think they'd burn her quicker if there was...
Yeah, if there's loads of hair in the sky.
So I'd be making it worse.
Yeah. I think that might
sky
be why
they're hairy. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I haven't necessarily thought it through. Sure.
Most people will have thought that question through at some point in their life. So I'm disappointed in you.
You're not the first.
I'll ask you another emergency question. I just did an interview with Arthur Smith upstairs, and he came up with this as an emergency question accidentally. We were talking about good interview questions,
right?
Which I know. There's someone creeping around up there. Yep. Chat. It's the sniper. Got a little hat on, and he said it's better not to ask questions like how do you get your crazy ideas. Obviously, that we get asked a lot.
Right.
And he said to me, he said what you should ask them about their towel system, their system of towels. And I said that is a good question because I've got a favourite towel, and then told him a whole story about my favourite towel. So I've got
what kind of towel? What manner of towel?
Well, I had a it's. I don't want to bore people with because they might have listened to Arthur Smith's show, but it's a big blue towel. It's like not in good size. I've had it for a long time. I call it Old Bluey.
Sure.
Because it's blue and it's quite old, but it's still, you know, very good at drying.
High quality towel? Is it Egyptian cotton?
I don't think it is. So I've had it for a long time. I just think it's, you know. But then I was once living in Edinburgh, and I'm sure I talked about this on an Edinburgh Fringe podcast, and. Andre Vincent came and stayed in our flat. Do you know Andre? Yeah. And you know, he's a chubby man. So am I. But he just saw my towel on a radiator and just thought, oh, I can use that towel. And used my towel, and that slightly spoiled my relationship with my towel. He was staying in my flat, so there was lots of flat. There were lots of people, a few comedians there.
He wasn't just visiting.
And he stayed. He wasn't just popping in.
His towel.
He stayed overnight.
My towel myself down.
he stayed overnight, had a shower, then used my favourite towel, which I was drying on the radiator, to dry himself. I thought that was an infringement of my civil liberties.
He's past his nubile phase.
He is. Yeah. So every time I use that, I now imagine it going into Andre Vincent's bum crack.
Of course.
Which is definitely where it has been.
Oh, yeah. And it's like a casserole down
there. And it's spoiled my enjoyment.
Well known.
It's spoiled my enjoyment.
No way slanderous.
So by asking that question, he came up with a very good anecdote about towels.
Mm.
I'm hoping the same will happen to you. What is your favourite towel?
I don't have a...
Do you have one?
We have a roaming towel system
right.
at home. Because my wife lives there, and we've got two tiny nippers, and there's just where everyone is very messy. So there's just lots of wet towels everywhere that people use. And you just, whichever one trips you up first is the one that you
roll
around in.
That's all right, because most of those people are made out of your gametes.
Exactly, yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Wife isn't made out, but you're right, most people, yeah.
She's not made out of them, but she's
comfortable
them.
With them, and I'm comfortable with her gametes, and
yes. So that's all right. If Andre Vincent came around and started drying himself on your children's soil towels, we wouldn't like
I'd
that.
Hit the fucking roof, and he knows it. And that's why he doesn't. That's why he...
That's why he goes to other people's places.
Or he comes to mine and he's pre-towelled. Yeah, sure.
If you were sadly dying yourself,
yeah.
Which I hope never happens.
Thank you.
But if it does happen, I hope it's like more than 3 years away. Which celebrity would you like to stroke your hair as you are dying?
Do they have to be living?
Yeah, well, they don't have to be, I suppose. I mean, you know.
Could they be reanimated?
It could be, but then if they are reanimated, it would be their corpse. Okay. Like, their probably skeleton hand going,
oh. All right.
So it'd be better if they're alive, but they don't have to. Actually, I chose Goldie from the Blue Peter, I was going to say Doctor Who.
Sure.
Who probably is dead, isn't it? Goldie's probably... Don't smile and nod your head. The woman there nodding her head, yeah, smiling. Defo. Yeah, definitely dead.
Yeah.
Do you know for a fact that Goldie's
forget
dead?
That
do, you
guy.
Remember, it being
were you
announced
involved?
On Blue Peter? Did you kill Goldie? Is that, well, that's what we're asking.
Have you got him stuffed in your car?
I don't like dogs.
You don't like
dogs?
Like dogs. Well, that's more reason to kill one, isn't it? Right. And be delighted. Is that why you're happy? Because you're going, that's one less dog. That Goldie can fuck off. That she's...
Are you just here to bring your anti-dog agenda? Is that why you're here? Just ram it down our bloody throats.
So I guess Goldie was dead when I chose Goldie.
Yeah. So I would Walter Matthau. I don't know why it just springs to mind, but he is dead. So I'd get him to wear velvet gloves
to cover up his skeleton.
To cover up his skeletal hands. Yeah. Skeletal. Yeah. I don't know why he just pops into my head. I find him very comforting.
It's nice to know. I think it's a good question because I came up with Goldie.
Yeah.
I don't know why I came up with. I have all the people I could have chosen.
Mm.
Why did I choose Goldie from Blue Peter?
I don't know. When I mean,
so I think it probably, if we get a psychiatrist to look at this answer to this question, it'll probably tell us something.
It would be... Yeah, it might not be about that.
It might not be about... I can't be bothered to do that. I'm not going to...
Medication. It's me. Is it a sex thing? I mean, I don't want to sort of lower the tone.
No, it's because it's...
But Goldie was... Because Goldie was around in a time when the cartoon Dogtanyan was very prominent.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, my peers, certainly had a lot of... trouble fantasizing about the queen in that cartoon. Who was sexy.
Yeah, she was.
But she also was a collie.
Yeah.
So maybe that
I
was
don't
tied
think
up.
My feelings were sexual. Though if I had sexual feelings for Blue Peter at that era, it was for Janet Ellis, who, again, right. These are well documented.
Sure.
mainly by the police, but also I've spoken about them quite a lot.
Between Ellis and Brian Cant,
isn't yeah, it
is. One of the...
So I guess Janet Ellis had probably groomed Goldie, in fact. And maybe by doing that, she was subconsciously grooming me.
That gloss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We never know. That was very interesting. So... That was a very interesting thing. So one of the things I found about you on the internet in this this no footprint was a blog by me about you from 2008 when I saw you do a gig.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember me seeing? I don't remember the gig now. So it's a good job. I'm glad I keep a blog because I don't remember anything now. So
I remember yeah. you came in. It was after it started, but yeah, you were lurking in the shadows, in the back.
And I said you were very good. You had some routines about penile mishaps that made me laugh, even though I had done a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that you had a nice moustache, an impressive moustache. Do you remember what the penile mishaps material was?
I was criticised for it focusing too heavily on male genitalia.
Really? That's never been a problem for me.
Julian Hall in The Independent.
Oh, yeah, the reviewers don't like people doing.
And it was very heavily. It was it wasn't meant to be, but it just turned into a lot of stories about terrible cock based things that. Right. Happened, you know, and I wasn't deliberate. That's just the way my life was at the time. I had an incident where I had spilt some muesli down my urethral meatus, you know. And
it's known as the herring's eye now. That has been renamed as the herring's eye.
The world needed to hear about that.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah.
How did you manage to get the muesli down? That's quite. I mean, were you erect at the time of the muesli dropping?
Well, I was
erect and proudly against your own stomach.
Yeah, I was
100.
I was younger then.
Yeah.
And so I had higher quality erections.
Yeah.
In the morning, and slept naked and woke up naked and had muesli naked, and it was just a perfect storm.
So it kind of happened.
You know, I'm a messy eater. Sooner or later, you know, one of those wheat flakes is going to go the wrong way, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to go into the centre of the Death Star, and boom. And what I talked about back then, the thing that had troubled me, is that the last thing I'd spilt muesli in was my mini-disc player, and that was a couple of months beforehand, and it hadn't worked since. Very, very frightening time. Yeah.
Did the muesli really go far up enough, up your urethra to be a problem, or did you just flick it out?
Put it this way, yeah. Okay, I mean, that is a little husk of barley,
yeah.
I ain't seen twice.
So it's still in you.
Somewhere,
it could be growing inside you.
Maybe, I don't know. It might be that some corns pop out of me at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I need to put some bot larvae in there to have a look. Some old friends.
That's exciting. You were born in Portsmouth?
I was born in Oxford.
Oh, right. I was doing my Henry Higgins thing on you there. It had taken me that long to work out where I thought you were from.
But, you know, I grew up in Portsmouth.
That's it. So that's the accent gave it away, plus The Guardian. The Guardian's review.
Conceived in Plymouth.
Are we?
That covers it, probably. I guess.
What were your parents up to? They were travelling the country round.
Shagging, I guess, at the time, probably. I was quite a well-educated man.
Why in Plymouth, though? I mean, there's not much else to do.
They were working. Yeah. They were working in Plymouth.
Were they?
At the time, yeah. They were doctors as well.
Oh, they were
there.
Doctors.
Yeah. I'm one of them. Yeah.
So that explains their disappointment with you, that they are doctors.
Yeah.
Because my family are all teachers. Mm. And I like to think that I'm a teacher. And these people are my class.
Yeah.
I'd be in quite a lot of trouble if they were my class due to the things I did to some of them when I was a younger man. So it's luckily my audience are not my class. So it's fine. But yes, so I know that feeling. But the family expects you to carry. Is your sister a doctor as well?
No. Yeah. She's more interesting and brighter. So yeah, she realised if you say when you're five, I want to be a doctor, and it makes your parents very happy, you don't have to stick with it. It's okay. Whereas I sort of thought that, yeah, I would devastate them.
See, I think I did. My dad was a maths teacher.
Yeah.
And I was quite good at maths. Mm. And I was sort of the best at maths in my school, but that's not a reason to do, you know, I wasn't very good at it still. It's not a reason to do it, but I was kind of thinking,
the best, though, in your year in a small year. Part of Somerset.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So remember that.
It's not a great thing. But I was going to do maths at university. Because I thought, my dad did it, so I should do it.
Mm.
And I got to the... I'd started doing my A-levels. I was doing maths, physics and history. And I did a whole term of physics. And then I went, I don't like maths. And I don't like physics. And I changed it. I changed from physics to English after a term. But it was because I think, subconsciously, I thought I should do the same thing as my dad.
Maths is... Isn't that the biggest one? Is any maths people here?
Almost certainly.
It's got to be. It's got to be. Look at him.
He's pretty. I mean, he's got glasses, but he's pretty sexy for a maths nerd. He's got a girlfriend as well. By the looks of it.
Wonderful.
A wife. He's married.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Or she's married to someone.
And he's employed.
Trying to draw fire.
Yeah. What are you going to ask him?
I don't know. I was just saying, I know it's the biggest kick out rate.
What's the derivative of x? One. Can't remember.
I'm going to confess something, because
he
gave you a face that made you look as if that was a stupid question. And gave the answer. I assumed that it was a joke question.
I think
it was
nearly
a question that made no sense.
It was about calculus or something, isn't it? Yeah, that's all I can remember. I used to be able to do calculus.
Don't
I really understand what it was for. That was part of the reason. Part of the reason I stopped doing maths.
Yeah,
because I ended up doing history. After a fashion. So you weren't born in Portsmouth.
No.
But your parents were doctors who travelled around coastal regions.
Travelling with their wares, with their
what kind of
salves
doctors?
And ointments.
Down to Plymouth, where you can really con people into buying some shit down there.
The snake poison.
The feckless Plymouth idiots.
Yeah, good times. Yeah. Unregulated, good times. Yeah, cursed GMC. Yeah, it's not the same anymore.
But you grew up in Portsmouth.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever go on the HMS Victory?
Well, I did. I had to. I mean, you know, I have nothing against Portsmouth really now, but when I left, I had no desire to return.
I had a great time in Portsmouth.
right. once because when I finished university, I worked at a school in Oxford over the summer where foreign students, like university students, came across, and then you'd take them out to various activities and stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the activities was to take them to HMS Victory in Portsmouth on a bus, and I had to collect the money from everyone. And the person who said ran the trip said, "Yeah, they don't do any discounts there, so." Take the full thing from every person. And when I got to the booth of HMS Victory, I said, "It's 50 people." And they said, "Are they students?" And I said, "Yeah." And I got like £100 off the thing. And I kept all of that money.
It was like, I'd have had to give everyone like £1.96 back. It would have been so complicated to do it.
That explains.
That was the best day of my life.
That explains the effort that they have. By HMS Victory that closely resembles you.
I hadn't done anything wrong to them. I hadn't. Was there a crime?
There was a crime.
I've sold a small amount of money for quite a lot of foreign students. Yeah. Who wouldn't even understand what a pound was?
Maybe there's going to be a kind of yew tree of petty thieves.
I'll be in big trouble.
Yeah, in ten years' time, you're going to be banged to rights.
And now this could be used as a confession.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be there at the Old Bailey on the day.
He did say, and then I'll say, it was a joke. That was a joke. And then I got off with a Japanese girl called...
Vulnerable Japanese student.
Called Amy. And she was nice. She still sends me a Christmas card.
Does she?
Yeah.
It sounds like you've done a great deal of damage.
Didn't give her a £1.50 back. even when we started going out with each other very briefly. Oh, it's happy days. That was before any of you were alive. That was back in 1989. You weren't alive then, were you? Yeah, you. Yeah. You baby face. How old were you in 1989?
Eight.
Yeah, so there you go. So. Don't really count.
Face closed.
Is it true? This is like mainly working from the Guardian.
Mm.
Did you one of your ancestors get eaten by a cannibal?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's true.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. In Papua New Guinea.
Really?
Yeah. He was a Polish Catholic
right
missionary.
Yeah.
And,
especially delicious.
He didn't. He didn't do his background research, and I guess he wasn't as effective a communicator as he thought he was when he got out there, because they didn't buy it. Whatever he was there to sell, they killed him, all right. And we occasionally eat people, don't we?
Yeah.
This particular tribe, and they bloody ate him. There's a lot of them got eaten. There was a Polish Count Rutkowski, on my father's mother's side, who was out hunting bears and was eaten by bears. Just, like some technique issues there. If you are being eaten by bears while you're hunting bears, you should just take a step back and think, hang on a sec, I'm doing... Something's gone wrong
here. Yeah.
You should have gone on the course.
You probably won't make that mistake again.
No.
Do you think you're... come from a particularly tasty genealogy of some kind that...
Well, I have no knowledge of how discerning the Papua New Guinean cannibals were back in the day. Bears, I think, aren't necessarily that fussy, I think they'll eat any old dickhead.
How do you know about this? Is this like... How is it viewed in the family? It's obviously a family story.
Yeah.
So is it viewed with humour that this guy got eaten by cannibals?
Oh, oddly, or is it... From my dad's mum's side, it's told with great pride. I think what they think the take-home message is that, hey, you're from a pretty important line. Like, some of these guys were Catholic missionaries and counts. Okay, no, stop. They were eaten. They were dickheads, okay? So, but I think, they're proud of that heritage, oddly.
So it's a Polish name, Wozniak.
Polish gang. Dad's dad was a bomber pilot who had to escape in the Second World War. He was already a bomber pilot out there, and then he had to go without his wife. Just had to get in the plane, or we'll shoot you through the brain, and go and fight from England. And his wife had to sort of smuggle herself and bribe and God knows what else away across Northern Europe to meet him with the sort of invasions hot at her heels, right, left and centre. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And until the day she died, had a suitcase in the bottom of her wardrobe, just in case. yeah. So I mean, again, yeah, Farage would have scared the shit out of her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bit of fun.
It's a bit of. But you know, if you'd shot Hitler through the. Got him shot through the moustache.
They'd have been able to stick around.
Yeah, you might never
have been able to be alive to shoot him.
Yeah. So he wouldn't have been shot. That's the problem with time travel. That's one of the many.
That's why I don't get involved.
Yeah. It's why. It's for me why a few of the episodes of Goodnight Sweetheart don't work. For that very reason.
The old Goodnight Sweetheart paradox.
It is.
But they're trying to crack in CERN right now. We can cut these episodes to work if we re-edit them right there in the hub.
Have you ever seen a ghost? One man. It's a very serious question, please.
No. Although when I was a small child, there was a wardrobe in my room that was set such, and the light would hit it such that it looked like there was a terrible kind of ghoul with a sort of proboscis kind of his face in it literally every single night. I don't know. I'm sort of one below Pavlov's dog, basically, because I couldn't learn that it was a wardrobe, but it was unlikely to harm me literally every night for about 3 years. It just scared the crap out of me.
It does, though, but that's a human instinct, isn't it, to see faces and things. There's some reason why that's a good thing in nature, to be able to recognise a human face, and so you start seeing. That's why people can see faces on Mars and stuff like that, because they, you know, there's that face on Mars from that photo. People are always looking for faces in places. But I was very like that. I still do it a little bit.
Yeah. How does it help? There's evolutionary.
Well, it doesn't help. That makes you scared if it's a wardrobe. I guess there weren't that many wardrobes in, you know, Neolithic times.
So when you go,
I think it just helps you understand.
So if you crawl out of the water, you're on your flippers.
I think I don't know what I'd go down. We'll ask.
And you'd be all right as long as he approached a wardrobe and had a chat with it.
Yeah.
Then you'd be safe.
For some reason, you're looking for. Well, you're looking for patterns and things.
You
I suppose.
Are a teacher, aren't you?
I am.
You really? Yeah.
I am. Especially the way I'm kind of trying to backtrack out of this now. Now I've been asked a difficult question back. No, it was just I was. Don't question. Don't answer back, Wozniak. That is just. But you know, you do. I still use my smoke alarm in my bedroom looks quite like a face, like a robot face. I have to look up at it now, and I'm a grown man. And I kind of imagined it coming to life.
My story was from when I was seven. Yeah. That was a problem.
I don't think it's a real robot. I just like to pretend that it's something. Yes, sir. If there is a fire, I will let you know. That is my task. Good. Just going to see if there's any important questions that I have to ask you. What is it like being Mike Wozniak?
I mean, it's all right. Yeah. You know? It's not without its problems.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a long drive here. I had some pant issues.
Did you?
Yeah.
What happened?
But I just chafing or right side of pant.
Yeah.
Riding up.
That's nasty when that happens.
And you know, so that was a problem. And I suspect that was because I still can't put my pants on properly. Yeah. So it's not great from that regard. But I think I was stoical.
So we're stoical about that.
So there's a plus side.
Yeah, it's not.
I'm stoical about my own failings.
Yeah, it's good. It's
That's
not
what
as good.
It's, like.
It's not as good as the answer that Stephen Fry gave to that question. I have to say. So I'm slight. If Stephen Fry had said that, I don't think that would have made international. I will delay judgment because I may be proven wrong. That might be on the headlines of the Australian news when this breaks.
Sure. Well, I'll go and do something dramatic straight after
you
this,
could do.
If you like. Yeah,
yeah. Don't do that. The time has flown by very fast. It's nearly time to end. That is unbelievable. You're staying in my hotel, aren't you, Tackline? It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Sinister.
which room are you in? I'm not telling you which room I'm in. It's a bit creepy. So that's the first thing I saw when I checked into my hotel. I can't really go, oh, I'm not staying here.
It will be
when
the last thing you see at night. Okay.
But I just thought I would mention it if anything happens to me tonight.
Oh, I've clocked it.
Yeah. It's all I know about
him. I got my eye on you.
It's his Twitter. He's at Tackline. So if I'm dead, could you tweet him and ask him to hand himself in
for a murder confession on Twitter?
Yeah,
first ever.
It could be. Well, that'd be good. That might be good. Then that would be at least. Something, wouldn't there be some Has the moon ever spoken to you?
Not directly. No, but it has left voicemail.
Has it?
Yeah.
So Izzy Sitty's had a conversation with the moon.
Has she?
Yeah. So she's better than you. What age were you breastfed until?
I can't remember being breastfed. So I mean, my earliest memory is four. So
right. Four.
But certainly before four. Hopefully, a long time before four.
When you have your own children, as you do. Is there a point where you say to your wife, "It's time now to stop breastfeeding," or does that just happen naturally?
It sort of happens naturally. Yeah. Once they're ambulant, it seems it's kind of, you know, if they can walk to the other side of the room.
And that makes them hungry, all that walking, though.
If they can get a drink, then it's time to just back off.
Get away.
Okay.
Because some people do, you know, four, five, six. I think, again, Izzy's
a friend of mine is a GP in Totnes in Devon, which is a big time hippie town.
Yeah.
And they've got, you know, their 12 year olds will routinely. It's a great betrayal of confidentiality on my part. And also on his, and so there's a real sort of chain of of indiscretion there.
Well, we don't name the actual people who did it. I noticed you in one of your routines you used the word spermatozoons or something similar, which I like that word.
Yeah, spermatozoon. I did. Yeah, I was in a show about trying to get pregnant. Where I genuinely thought we couldn't. We've been trying for a long time, and then we just went in the wrong. You don't want to know about that. But
something happened. We'll talk about it later on.
We struggled. We struggled for a long time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting to know. I'll talk to you about that later on.
You will, yeah?
Yeah, it's probably not the time.
You promised me twice.
It's probably not the place to... I don't think your wife
I'd really just
would like it.
I want to get it off my chest.
Okay. All right, I'll ask you a classic Leicester Square Theatre podcast, except at the McCuntleth Comedy Festival. A lovely yes, eat McFly. which is, if you had to choose between having a armpit that dispensed sun cream and a hand that was made out of ham, which of those take two? You can only have one of them.
Mm.
You can eat the ham a bit, but it will grow back. But if you eat it all, that's the end of your hand.
Yeah,
that will operate as a hand.
Yeah,
but it's made of ham. Nice ham.
Sure,
whatever ham you like, actually. Yeah. Or your sun cream.
Yep,
enough for one person use throughout a year. Which of those two things?
It's very easy. I'm on the road a lot, so the ham.
Yeah. Would you
I'm
not be worried
about how you get a sandwich out of a, on the motorway, changing lanes, that kind of thing? If I could just have a nibble on my index ham, then done.
That's good. It's good. That's a good answer.
Yeah. Do I get a come in? Is there a possibility of an armpit with a mustard dispenser on the?
We can't.
It'd be quite a tricky aim, but I mean
that is sort of like having your ham hand and eating. You can't have both.
As you say.
You can have your ham hand and eat it. Well, you've also... there's lots of things people can see you in. You're in It's Kevin.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't. How did you get in that It's Kevin and I didn't? Everyone else got in it.
I don't know. Again,
can you ask Kevin Eldon the actor Kevin Eldon?
A clerical error.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was moustache-based casting.
Yeah.
Rather than, yeah.
I can grow a moustache. We could have been Stalin and Hitler. It writes itself.
When they let him make another series, then,
The Mac Fest, you're doing your last year's show.
Yeah.
Was it a nominated show for a big award? Wow.
You bet. Wow.
Woo! Is that that's tonight for the people here?
That's tonight.
Is there any tickets left? Come,
I would assume so.
Looking at the popularity.
And that has been the trend. And
it's hard. Yeah. It's hard when you start. And hardly anyone ever came to see you to begin with. And now, after 12 years, it is the same. Don't want to put you off, but it's the most hellish way to make a living.
Sure. Right.
You could ever do. Okay. So what's the show about?
The show
is
about my parents and all moving in with us.
Wow.
Yeah. It's quite an intense period of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you find that... how do they take you doing jokes about you when they are real people and presumably these are real stories?
They're very good about it.
Are they?
Yeah. My own parents get confused.
Right.
Because when I talk about my own parents, it'll normally be something that's complete nonsense that I've made up. But I'll say... a story about my dad that is definitely not true. Like, that he's a scientist that has tried to prove that you can't shit and shout at the same time. But oddly, and he's a very intelligent man, he thinks it's true, or that I, in some way, think it's true, or... Did I do that? So they get in a real pickle about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, my wife's parents are very relaxed about the whole thing. Yeah.
Okay. They quite like it. My parents-in-law, I think, quite like it.
Yeah.
When I mention them in Metro articles.
Yeah,
I haven't done many.
They're game.
Yeah.
Game old birds.
Yeah. It's like a little bit of fame, isn't it, as well, I suppose. It's sort of
notoriety.
Like, it's like your life has some meaning now that you've been in a mustachioed man's routine about
that. I mean, and that's what all these guys here are looking for, isn't it? Some sort of mention in a small publication by a man with a moustache.
Is
the meaning.
The meaning of life.
The objective.
And we're going to have to stop because, like, Arthur Smith's coming on. That doesn't happen usually at the by Leicester Square thing. But it's been really lovely talking to you. Is the tour continuing or is the tour over?
There's a few dates left, mostly Wales based.
Right.
There's a few on the website.
So go to your website.
Yeah.
The only thing about you on the internet.
Yeah.
With very little information about you on it.
Which is my own poorly constructed homemade website, MrMikeWozniak.com.
Cool.
Very basic, very infrequently updated. No point in following me on Twitter whatsoever because I'm crap at it. And but come to a show.
But you're not doing Edinburgh because you're doing another series of Man Down.
Yeah.
And, you know,
can't wait.
I, for at least one episode, I'm like a god over you. I can make you do what you want until Greg gets the script and rewrites it. So thank you very much to my fantastic guest, Mike Wozniak, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. You have been listening to Returning Leicester Square Theatre podcast, except at the McCunterworth Comedy Festival. Lovely, yes. with my guest, it was me, Richard Herring, doing it with my guest, Mike Wozniak. The music you're listening to is by Pest. Thanks to Orange Mark and everyone at the British Comedy Guide, to Chris Evans and everyone at Go Faster Strike, even though they haven't done anything in this one, but thanks anyway, idiots. And also to Ben Walker, who produced the show. This is a Sky Potato and Fuzz production. Thank you very much for listening to this whole series. We will be back with more in September. We're doing loads of them, so I hope you'll enjoy that. Before that, if you want to catch me at the Edinburgh Fringe, I'm doing a show called Lord of the Dance Settee, and I'm writing a play called I Killed Rasputin, which will be on at the George Square Theatre throughout the whole of the Edinburgh Fringe. Come along if you can, and that will help me not lose millions of pounds. Thank you. Go to gofasterstripe.com/RHLSTP5 if you want to give us some money. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words.
And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.